Good morning to you all. We are heading into that holiday, what we call the holiday season, combining Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, and we're getting to come up on the best one yet, amen? This was Christmas, and we'll be looking at that for the next few weeks for sure. And I do want to just kind of come back on what Randy was talking about. We are going to be having a combined service on the 20th for our Christmas service, our special Christmas service. So I want you to really put your heart and, put your commitment and your heart into it, and it should really be good. So hopefully this will be the best one we've had. And in the evening, we will definitely be, we'll be able to worship together with us and Fort Wayne, and Columbia City is going to be here as well. And so it should be a good night, and so I'm really looking forward to that. So there'll be some faces up here you may not know, but you'll get to know them because Columbia City is going to be family. They're going to be a part of New Life, so it's going to be New Life Columbia City, and they're very excited to join. And I wish we had some of that going on at New Life here. We do have some excitement, but you can look around, and our attendance is really kind of dropping. And I'll tell you, it's not because New Life is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. It's because of laziness, and it's because of laziness, non-committed Christians. That's what's going on. I'm just telling you fact. That's what it is. And so, but you know what? I'm going to continue to do God's work. How about you? Amen? You're still going to teach your classes. You're going to still be a part of worship. You're still going to sing. And you know what? I'm not going to get down on that. I'm going to be excited because my Savior is about moving forward. My Savior is about getting what he wants to get done. There's a bigger picture than what's going on, than what people see. And unfortunately, we're talking more about, and I understand because I've talked about it last week, but we're talking so much about what's going on in the world and all the negative things. And it's kind of shadowing over the awesome time of this time that we celebrate the birth of Christ, the coming of the Savior, the coming of the Messiah. And so these other things that people are getting into fear, where we should not be, and we should not be living in fear. Amen? We should not be living in fear. Okay? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And we Christians, they're scared. Half of them are talking about the coming of Christ, and I think that's amazing. But the more we talk about, if we keep talking about the coming of Christ and not be busy about the coming of Christ, you know what I'm saying by that? There's a sense of fear. We talk about what we fear. And then there's the other part that's just so scared about what's going on in the world. Well, I want to talk about what happened before. When I want to talk to you about the whole thing of Christmas. That's what I'm talking about, this whole gift that's there. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to turn over to Matthew. We're going to be Matthew this morning. And my theme for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about these magi, these wise men. That's who we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about these guys. We're going to talk about what this is about. We're going to talk about how important this Christmas thing was. We're going to talk about it, and we're going to look at it, and we're going to see some things. But I want to share with you a little bit about the Magi. We see that they were, we call them wise men. We talk about that they were kings, but the Bible calls them Magi. They're wise men, and wise men were spoken about and written about in the Old Testament. We see that there was wise men in the book of Esther. We see that there was when Nebuchadnezzar came to Judah, there was wise men there in Jeremiah. We see that. We see in the book of Daniel that in the book of Daniel there was lots of wise men there. We see that and Daniel was a wise man, but we see this whole thing of these guys, and we see there's some that are crooked, and we see some that are right, but this one here is a little bit different. These guys are a little bit different. They come from a different place. So looking at chapter 2, we see in Matthew, we see after in verse 1, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. Now a lot of people think that these wise men came the night that Jesus was born. But we just read right here, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during that time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. So I want to tell you that these Magi here, these Magi here, they came from the east. They were on a journey. They were focused. These guys were on a journey. And we can believe probably that these were God-fearing men. These were God-fearing men like Cornelius. As we know that Cornelius was a Gentile, and he was praying and giving gifts to people. And then later on he had that salvation experience. Peter with them, and then also we see Lydia. So there was people that were like this, that would follow into like Judaism, that would follow into they believed in God, they did the customs of what the Jews did, and they followed in some of those things, but they were not those people. But they believed that there was a God. They believed in God, and so here these men they come from the east, and what we see with this is they come from the east. I know a lot of our pictures display, and I had a hard time finding this picture because I wanted to put a picture up because every time I see a picture of the wise men, of the Magi, we see three of them. But I want to tell you that when there wasn't, you know, I don't know where we got this three. There's a couple of things that were written, how they think there were three. Okay, let's just say there were three. Let's just pretend there were three. Let's just take a guess there were three. I guarantee you that they were not going alone. These were very important people. Very important people do not travel alone in these days. They do not travel alone. There was an entourage. There was probably personal protection there. Even when we read it back with when he was there, he was next to Nebuchadnezzar. He was there. They were right there next to him. I mean, these guys were important people. And if you read the book of Daniel, you'll see how much power that they had. And of course, the king had many of them thrown into the lion's den, but they had a lot of power. So these guys did not travel alone. There was an entourage. So think about an entourage. They're coming up in that form of type of land, and they're just coming, and they're just coming probably in a pretty good wave, a pretty good run of them. And so we pick it up here. He says, so after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked. So they're here. I guarantee you the king's going to get their attention. They're going to get the king's attention because there's a group of people that are coming. And they look like they're pretty powerful. Okay? They look like they're pretty powerful. And so they're coming in, and so the king Herod is going to see what's going on, and he's going to ask, he's going to speak with them. But they came to King Herod, and they wanted to ask, and they asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews?" Now I want to tell you about King Herod for just for a moment. King Herod is not a very nice man. Through all history books and through God's word, he is not a very nice man. They want to claim that he was very paranoid. He had killed many of his family members, especially when it came up to conspiracies to take his throne. Mark Anthony is the one that kind of got him into power. He said, we need to make him, when they're talking to the Senate, we need to make him king of the Jews. So they made King Herod. He was king over these Jews. He was king over there. And anybody that would get in his way or anybody, he would just take him out. He would just take him out. And even before he died, within like a week or two, he had one of his sons. He had this thought that one of his sons was getting ready to have do a conspiracy against him and take his throne, and he had him killed. King Herod was not a nice guy at all, period. He was not a nice man at all, okay? So he has this piece. They asked him this question, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." I wonder if King Herod said, "Well, where's my star, right? Where's my star?" Well, King Herod don't deserve a star. He's not that. He's not worthy. Only one deserves that star, right? And so we see here they have come to do two things. They come to do two things. One, they wanted to know where Jesus was. Number one, where is Jesus? Where is this one that we're looking for? Remember, they're on a mission. They're focused. They're on a journey. They have this thing. This journey is costing money. This journey is costing time. This journey is costing them away and also putting them in maybe in some danger from any other things or any other attack from any other armies. But this is so important to them that they're going to take this journey. They want to find this one, this baby, this one born. They want to find this one who's been born king of the Jews. And they knew his star, and they wanted to follow, and they knew that direction was to follow the star. That's where they would find it. And they wanted to do one thing. Usually when they travel, they want to, you know, when they're traveling, doing things, they're always expected to get something in return. When you're in high authority, you're always getting things, you're always receiving. These men, they wanted to come and give something. They wanted to worship. These men wanted to worship him. Man, that amazes me because they're willing to take this journey. They've not seen him. They want to get over there to him so they can find this one born king of the Jews, so they can go and worship him. It's one of the people, it's not their people. Jesus is not born into their bloodline. But they know that this is going to be king of the Jews. This is the one. And they want to go and they want to worship him. And they had a hunger, and it's costing. I wish we had that same hunger today. Here's the thing. We have places of worship like we have today. We have this building. There's buildings all up, churches all around America, and most of them are 70% empty because we found something else to worship because we love ourselves. Me, myself, and I. We love that false trinity. We love me, myself, and I. We love to worship ourselves. But these men set everything aside to go on this journey. And they come up against this man. They wanted to speak because, a king is supposed to know everything. A king is supposed to know everything in his kingdom. Those who are low, those who are high, those who are doing things, the blacksmiths, all the workers, all the little inns. They know everything. They know everybody in and out because they got all the ears and the bees and the birds all flying around, getting all their news coming in. And this one's blowing King Herod away. What? What are you talking about? He said, so then King Herod said, he was disturbed. I don't know, something's going on in my kingdom. What's going on? But again, remember, he's a paranoid guy. He's kind of whacked out a little bit. He's not all there. But he is the king of this area. He has been sent to be king of this area. But it also says that all Jerusalem was disturbed with him. No, it isn't that they were afraid that a Messiah was coming. No, they would love to see the Messiah come because they had this idea that the Messiah was coming to take over and get them out of all the problems that they had and come over and be this big militant army. It wasn't that they were disturbed with that. They were probably disturbed because how King Herod is. Anybody that would come up with they're talking about the king of the Jews? Oh my gosh, he's been born. Oh, we know what happened before this. We know exactly what happened. About 60 years before all of this happened, guess what happened? Well, the Senate got together and said there was somebody else that was trying to rise up over there, so they had all the baby boys killed back then. So they've already been through this one time. They've already been through this once where they went through and killed all these baby boys. Because there was this possible conspiracy to put another king in. This was before King Herod. All of that. And so I think all the people were disturbed because there's like, oh my gosh, another uproar is going to happen. Possibly more death is going to happen. More putting people to death. And we know how King Herod is. It doesn't matter who you are. He wipes out his own family. If anybody comes close to that throne, any ideas or any thoughts or any conspiracies, he's thinking, we got some people like that today. Everything's a conspiracy. I walk away from those people just as fast as I can because their minds are being twisted. We're supposed to be about the things of the Lord, not the things of the world. And because of the things of the world, many weak Christians, even strong, some of them are starting to tilt and just become more involved in the world and then less involved in what God is doing. But for these magi, they said, no, we are going to focus. And so the king was all upset. He was disturbed. This is when he had called together all the people's chiefs and priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. He's like, he gathers up his so-called wise men, his priests, where's he supposed to be born? And he gathers them up. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be a shepherd, the shepherd of my people. So then Herod, he gets this and he's like, oh my gosh, this is coming to be. Could this be this prophecy? So verse 7 says, then Herod came, or he called the Magi secretly. He loves those secrets. First of all, he calls his priests and all the scribes. He calls them over and he huddles them up. He gets information. Then he comes over. Okay, Magi, here, guys, come over here. I want you to huddle up over here. He's super paranoid. You ever had somebody that was seeking your job? You ever thought somebody was applying for your job? This guy thought everybody was trying to get his job. So he said, after they heard, or it says, verse 7, Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. He says, I want to go and worship him too. Probably not. We know that's not going to happen. It's a threat. He wants to take the threat out. Let me tell you, the devil is already at work. The devil is already at work. You can see his footprints and his thumbprints from the time, even when Jesus is born. You can see this part here from there all the way down to the end, to that crucifixion. You can see Satan, his work all through. And I'm telling you right here, he was ready. He was working through this man, King Herod. He knew what he wanted to do, wanted to get him to find that baby. But it says in verse 9, after they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east, they went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. So we know they found where the child was. We know through the scriptures that they found baby Jesus, that they found this king of the Jews. But I want to tell you, the Magi people, that group, they had a couple of things that they were really looking at. One, do you know the one who has been born as King of the Jews? And in common terms, they say, do you know where baby Jesus is? Do you know where Jesus is? And they didn't know his name, but I'm just saying, do you know where Jesus is? That's what they want. That's what they were asking. If they knew his name, do you know where Jesus is? And I'm asking you the same question. Do you know where Jesus is? And if you're a believer today, I would hope you to say that, well, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Jesus is in my heart. His Holy Spirit is inside of me. I am in him and he is in me. So I know where he is. But I want to remind you that there are people out there wanting, also looking to know and looking for a hope. And you have that hope. Amen? If you're a believer, you have that hope. And you ought to be able to say, listen, I know the one. I know the hope you're looking for. Your hope is not always in that new job. It's not always in money. It's not always in all these other things. But your hope is in this one. And I can tell you about him. I'll tell you about my Lord and Savior. I'll tell you about my God. And you begin to share who Jesus is. So they're looking and they're hearing about this Jesus. And they're also hearing about some other beliefs in the world. But we as Christians, we need to rise up and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. Amen? And so we need to sit there and we need to be able to say, listen, I found that one. I found that one. And his name is Jesus. And you begin to witness and you begin to share who Jesus is and what he has done in your life. And that they too may turn around one day and be able to lead others to Christ. When they say, where's the hope of the world? You can say, the hope of the world is in Jesus. It's always been in God. It's always been in the Father. But not only were they looking for the one who has been born of the King of the Jews, they also said, we want to worship him. We want to make a commitment to him. We want to make him Lord and God of our life. We want to worship him. And that's what we need to do as well. We need to think worship is important for us. Worship is important for us. It draws us close to God. Amen? It draws us to Jesus, closer. It intertwines us with him when we come and we truly want to worship. Not when everything else gets in. We got a lot of responsibilities we do during the service. But when we get to that point of worship, we need to really make worship important. We need to make worship important. And these men were on a journey. And it didn't matter what it cost them. It didn't matter how far it was. They didn't ask how far it was. They asked where he was. And they began to follow that star. And they kept following and kept following. We don't know how long that journey was. There's a lot of different ideas. But I want to tell you, it wasn't short. It was a journey. And they weren't going to give up. But I wish we were like that as well, that we weren't going to give up. We're not going to give up because we have a bad day or a bad Sunday or a couple of weeks and we're down and out and we're going to give up on our worship with God. Listen, you need God in that time just as much as you need Him in every other time. Worship needs to be regular. Worship needs, these guys were excited about it. I'll tell you some more how excited they were in next week, but I want to tell you, just as much as we should be going toward Jesus, going toward Him, and worshiping Him. There's that other side with King Herod that we know that if we look over in verse 16, it says later on, you know, we know that the wise men, they were there. But verse 16 says this, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. See, he didn't want to go and worship Jesus. He didn't want to go and worship the King of the Jews. He was furious that these Magi, they didn't come back. They didn't go back that same way. As we see back in verse 12, it says, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, the Magi returned to the country by another route. So they went another way. They didn't go back to this. They didn't go back to the way King Herod and tell him where he was and who he was and where he lived. So that's why he says, when King Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem. You know, a lot of times we say that Stephen was the first martyr. Actually, I believe it was these boys. I believe the first pain for our really true salvation came when those families, as we begin to read here, it says, in the vicinity were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. So it had been about 2 years that the king figured it out. And he says, then what was said throughout the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, and Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Because he went out and he had all those baby boys wiped out and put to death because that's how much he was afraid. He was afraid that there was a new king rising up that was going to take his position. Listen, kings of the world, they have a beginning and they have an end. And they ain't as good as they think they are. And the presidents aren't as good as they think they are. We'd be better if we had some leaders that would fall on their faces before God and repent for themselves and for our nation. You would see our country turn around. But they refuse to because they're filled with pride. They think they're the number one man on the planet. They think because they have jets and planes and ships and all the money they think they have. Let me tell you, God can bankrupt a country in a moment. There's only one king that lives forever. And that's King Jesus. And these men were going to go find him. But King Herod is to say he felt the threat. So he wipes out all the baby boys. Now, my belief is those babies are in heaven today. They were mistaken for being possibly baby Jesus. I don't know how many there was, but there was a lot of them. And I believe in heaven we'll meet them. Their lives were very, very short-lived. I think they're special to God. I do. I think they're special to God. I think the hearts of the mothers and the fathers were broken. As we read it right there in the scripture, they were broken. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. And I don't think it left that generation until that generation passed on, until those few generations passed on, because what would happen is around the age of, you know, there were some ages that they did some things in their customs, you know, the customary. The Jewish had customs. There were certain ages and certain things that they had to do, and there was always going to be this gap where those guys were never, there was not men in that gap no more until a couple more years later. So we see that this is pain that is going to last for a long time. I'm telling you, our salvation costs a lot. But again, it was God gave more than any. Jesus gave everything. Jesus didn't come to take Herod's spot. He didn't come to take a throne like that. God didn't want Jesus to have a throne like that, a corrupted, evil throne, killing people mercilessly at any whim. God came to be king of our hearts. Then we might want to serve him willingly. that we might want to lay our lives down before him because he laid his life down for us. These magi, they didn't get everything, but they got the main thing. Where is Jesus? I want to worship him. Simple as that. Where is Jesus? I want to worship him. Where is Jesus? Then I want to worship him. And I want you to have that instilled in your heart, and I hope that it is, that you can say, where is Jesus? I want to worship him. But then again, I look around, I'm like, wow, where is everyone? It's becoming almost sometimes no longer, where is Jesus? I want to worship him. No, where's my thing? It's about me. Where's my thing? It's about me. But you stand strong and you stay focused like these magi, and whatever's in your way, you just move through it. I believe God protected these men. I believe God, these men were on a mission from God because Jesus needed to be worshipped. And Jesus needed to be worshipped. And sometimes you can't find worshipers in your own midst. It's kind of even funny that it's how many people travel outside of Huntington just to come outside of Fort Wayne just to come to Huntington. It's amazing to me that, you know, the Bible says Jesus as a prophet is not accepted in his own hometown. You know how many people in Fort Wayne travel to Huntington to go to worship? There are some. You know how many people in Huntington go to Fort Wayne to worship? I'm not saying it's wrong or right. I'm just saying. We love to put on judgment. We love to put those things on. How much more powerful sometimes we would be if we could be able to worship and be the awesome, be that light in our own community right there. And we know that God moves people around because he's gifted them and with gifts and talents to use and help bring up and lead up churches. But a church isn't a church just because it has a lot of people in it. It's a building. A church really is a true church is a church that's seeking Jesus and worshiping Jesus. Seeking Jesus and worshiping Jesus. I don't care how good the music is. I don't care how good the parking lot and the church is decorated for Christmas. If they're not seeking Jesus and they're not worshiping Jesus, it's a building. I hope that we can be like these magi and these wise men that will seek Jesus as they did and have the heart's desire as they did. So my question for you really is, are you seeking Jesus in your life? Are you still seeking him? I'm still seeking him. He's in me. I have him. But I want to know more about him. I want to draw closer to him. I want to know what he has for me. In my life to do. I want to live my life for him. And through that process and through that journey of seeking and searching him more and more, I want to fall on my face. I want to worship him. I want to worship him because I love him, because he loves me, because of his grace and mercy and all the things he's done in my life and the things I've seen that he's done and things I haven't seen, because he just loves me and protects. He's an amazing God. He's an amazing King. And his name is Jesus. And if he's your King today, amen. But if he's not, you have an opportunity this morning to make him and seek him, and you find him and you make him Lord of your life. Let him be King of your life and you worship him. Amen. It's good to be a Christian today. No matter what's going on in the world, it's good to be a Christian because we are in the hands of the Father. We're in the hands of Jesus Christ, and we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. It don't get no better than that, folks. It doesn't get no better than that. I don't care how much you have. I don't care what jobs you have. I don't care what you drive or where you live. It don't get no better than being all part of what Jesus is about. That's awesome. I wish we would just get that hunger and say, wow, I should be excited about what I am in Christ Jesus. So let's go ahead and stand. I want to give you an opportunity today. If you want to come and you want to pray and you want to ask Jesus, oh, Lord, you just need to search him out a little bit deeper. Maybe you search for him in your heart, not just your mind, but in your spirit as well. Maybe you need to ask him to become Lord of your life. Have that salvation that you so much need. And maybe you're a Christian and you're like, wow, you know, I have him, but I just don't think my worship is up to par. Man, it's amazing. These guys traveled because they wanted to worship him. Maybe today you need to ask God to give you a new fire, to put his finger in your inside of you and move your heart and make sure it's alive. Because there's nothing like being in a worship experience with just you and God. And you can do that anywhere, but there is something about being in the worship house, worshiping with others. Not afraid to say, Father, you are amazing. God, I love you with all my heart. Never afraid to lift your hand up. Never afraid to say amen. Never to say, Lord, make me the man, make me the woman that you desire me to be. And those things come out of worshiping. Worshiping the Father. Seeking him. Searching for him. And when you find him, you say, I still want to know more about you. So I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment, and just have a conversation with Jesus yourself right now and ask him, are you where you need to be? Are you where you need to be? And I also want to challenge you that some of us are going to be visiting family members over this Christmas holidays, and we're going to find some King Herods. And they're going to be angry with us because we spend too much time at church, or we give to the church, or we talk too much about Jesus. And they're going to be offended by who we are and what we stand for. I want to tell you be strong and you continue to search out for Jesus. Put a smile on your face. Just ask them if you can pray for them. If they say no, that's okay. Pray for them anyway. Because they're a person that's separated from God. You're going to have some of them. I've got some in my family. And when I see a door open, I'm going to share Jesus with them. And if I don't, I'm going to pray for them. I've got King Herods in my family, and you probably do too. Have a conversation with them. Tell them what you're doing in life. If you get angry, it's okay. You need to be who you need to be.